This is Rabbi Nathanael Brun, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Monday, April 24th. We will do the last two Mishnayos in the 8th chapter of Mishnah Shavuos. If you have the spreadsheet, it's actually missing the 6th and final Mishnah in Shavuos, but we will learn that as well. And then we will do the first two Mishnayos in the Mishnah of Eduyos. So we end the last two Mishnayos in Shavuos, pick up where we left off before Pesach with Shavuos HaPikadon. Where you have something of somebody else's in your possession, you deny it, you swear, and then you later admit, so you owe one and a fifth, right, the value of the item plus a fifth penalty, and you have to bring a sacrifice. If you remember, the rule was only if you are actually denying money when you take the oath, are you then obligated for the penalties. If you take the oath and swear falsely but don't deny money, you've sworn falsely, and that you get whatever for, but you don't get the penalties of Shavuos HaPikadon, of the extra fifth, and the sacrifice. So Mishnah Hey, Amar L'Shoel. You say to someone who has borrowed something from you, and the borrower has the highest level of obligation and responsibility. So Amar L'Shoel Heichan Shori. You say to the Shoel, where's my cow? Amar lo meis. And the Shoel says, the cow died. Really sorry. V'hu shenishbar o nishba o nignav o avad. And in reality, the cow didn't die, but either it broke, or it was taken captive, or it was stolen, or you lost it. Or you said nishbar, you claimed that it broke, but in reality, either it died, or nishba, or nigna, or avad, or it was taken captive, stolen, or lost, or you claimed nishba, that it was taken captive, v'hu shemes, or nishba, or nigna, or avad, but in reality, either it died, it broke, it was stolen, or it got lost, or you claimed nignav, you claimed it was stolen, v'hu shemes, or nishba, or nishba, or avad. But in reality, it wasn't stolen. It was either it died, it broke, right? It was captured, or it was lost. Or if you say avad, right, you say, I'm really sorry the cow got lost. But in reality, v'hushimeis onishba onignav. In reality, either it died, it broke, it was captured, or it was stolen. Mashbiacha aniva amar amen. The guy says, swear to me and you do it. So the Mishnah says, pater, you're exempt. Now the reason you're exempt in all of these cases is because whether the animal died or broke or was taken captive or was stolen or was lost, the Shoel is obligated. He's obligated in all five of those cases. So for whatever reason he lied, right? You can't get into the head of the liar. But it didn't change his monetary obligation. He was going to be liable to reimburse the owner of the animal for the animal no matter what. So he told them the wrong reason, the wrong reality. But it wouldn't have changed his financial obligation. He wasn't actually denying the claim, and therefore he's not chayav, he's not obligated in the sacrifice and the penalty. Last Mishnah in Shavuos. But there is a way, right, to get the borrower, the Shoel, to actually be chaya for this oath and penalty. Let's say the guy comes and he says, you borrowed somebody's cow. And the owner of the cow comes and says, Heichan Shori, right, where is my cow? So Amar lo, eini yode ma'atasach. I have no idea what you're talking about. Who are you? Where'd you come from? And the hu shemes, but in reality he did borrow the cow, and either it died on nishbar or nishba or nigna or avad, and either right it died, it was broken, it was captured, it was stolen, it was lost. Mashbiacha ani va'amar amen. The guy says, swear to me, and he swears, says amen, chayev. Then he's liable, because in this case, as opposed to the previous Mishnah, he actually tried to get out of his financial obligation by saying, what animal? No idea what you're talking about. And then it came out he took an oath and it came out he was lying. He admitted it. That in that particular case, there is a financial denial and he's obligated. Amar lanosi sachar vehasocher. So now we have somebody who is a paid watchman or somebody who rents an item. In this case, happens to be an animal. Heichan shori. The same thing, right? Comes and he says, all right, you rented my cow. I paid you to watch my cow. Where's my cow? And here, just before we begin, reminder that this middle category is obligated for geneva ve'aveda. If the animal gets lost or is stolen, they're liable. They're obligated to reimburse the owner the value of the animal, right? Minus the carcass, if it's stolen. I guess if it was stolen or lost, you don't have the animal, so you got to reimburse the value of the animal. If, on the other hand, it was, the animal died or was taken captive, broke, so then they are not liable, they're exempt. So we keep that in mind. And here are the cases. Hey, Chan Shori, where is my cow? So Amar lo meis. He said the animal died. But in reality, b'hu shenishbar o nishba, but in reality, it was either broken or captured. Or he says, the paid watchman or the renter, nishbar, it broke. V'hu shemes o nishba, but in reality, it either died or was taken captive, it was captured. Nishba, it was captured, he claims. But in reality, v'hu shemes o nishbar, in reality, it died or broke. Right, so again, that's a case where all of them are this, you're exempt. So whatever the reason the guy is lying, death, captured, broke, are all exempt. So he's lying about the reality, but he's not lying about his financial obligation. He would be exempt. Similarly, nignav, if the guy says, well, it was stolen, v'hu sha'avad, but really he lost it. So there, maybe I understand he's embarrassed to say he lost it, so he says it was stolen. But it's the same. He's got to pay either way. Avad, if the guy says, I lost it, v'hushe nigna, but really it was stolen. And then the owner says, mashbiach ha'aniva amar amen. And the owner says, swear to me. He says, amen, I swear to you. Pater, you're exempt. You're exempt from the shvua, from the korban, from the sacrifice and the penalty, because in the first set of cases, you were exempt no matter what. In the second set of cases, you were obligated no matter what. You were not denying a financial claim. But the reverse cases, meis o nishbar o nishba, if the animal died, broke, or was captured, v'hushe nignav o avad, right, so if he claims that it died, broken, or captured, but in reality it was either stolen or lost, then mashbiach chaniva amar amen chayav. In that case, he's claiming the exemption, but in reality he's obligated. In that case, he takes the oath and he is obligated chayav. Avad onignav. If he says, I'm really sorry, but I lost it or it was stolen. I mean, he's admitting to the claim. Apparently, I have no threats to my PC, apologize for that noise. He's admitting that he owes them v'hu shemes o nishbar o nishba, but in reality he doesn't. All right, so he's admitting to a financial claim where there is none, because really the animal died, it was captured, it was broken. Mashbiach ha'aniva amar amen, says swear to me. He says I swear to you. Pater, he's exempt from the korban shvua, so he's from the korban and the fifth, from the sacrifice and the additional fifth, because there he's admitting. He's not denying a claim. He's actually admitting what he doesn't owe, which is strange because now he has to pay and he's lying under oath. But he's certainly not liable for denying that financial claim and swearing about it. Zeh klal. Right, here is the rule. The Mishnah finally, after all these examples, gives us the big rule. Kol ha-mishana mi-chova l'chova mi-ptur l'ptur. Anyone who changes, who lies about the circumstance, but goes from chova to chova, from obligation to obligation, or from exemption to exemption, umi ptur lechova, or if they're really exempt and they swear they're obligated, pater, they're exempt. Because none of those cases include a denial of the financial claim. Michova leptur, if you're obligated and you swear that you're exempt, chayav. Then you're obligated because you have denied the financial claim. Zaklal. Here's another way to say the rule. Kol hanishba lahakel al atzmo chayav. If you swear to make it more lenient for yourself, you're obligated. Lahachmir al atzmo pater, to make it more strict for yourself. And that would include, I guess, this last zahaklal, this last rule doesn't include the middle case where you're going, you're staying horizontally. But if you come to be stringent on yourself, you are exempt from the sacrifice and the penalty. Okay, let's move on to Mishnah Adios, right, from the language of aid, of testimony. Who will kind of be for the first number of Mishnayos all over the place. Shammai Omer, Kol Hanashin Dayon Sha'atan. Right, so literally that means Shammai says, all the women, it is sufficient their time. Now what does that mean? Right, when a woman begins to have her period, she becomes Tamei. Now for us today, right, the only real practical ramification is for that is right, in the world of family purity, separation from her husband, and all of the associated halachos. But back in the day when somebody became tamei, right, things that they touched become tamei. Food items become tamei. And people who like to live bitahara and purity, or there were certain items of food that couldn't become tamei. You had to be careful when you became tamei not to touch other items of food, etc. So here the question is, at what point do we assume that the woman is tamei? Do we roll it back at all? And then the things that the woman has touched, let's say in the last 10 hours, 24 hours, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, when do we start assuming that the things that she touches become tummy? Now, for the other cases of tumma, like when you come in contact with a corpse, so you know exactly when that is. You walk into the building, touch the body, whatever it is, you know your tummy. So when a woman begins to have her period, so maybe it was a few hours earlier. Right, when you first see the blood might not necessarily be the time, the exact time that the period starts. So Shammai says, Dayan Sha'atan, what Shammai means is sufficient the time that they first see the blood. Right, they understand first, that's when it says they discover their period has begun, when they first see the blood, so that's it, they're tummy. You don't have to look backwards, you don't have to try and figure out, that's when they're tummy. Everything they touched beforehand was pure, moving forward, impure, no worries. V'Hillel omer mipkida lepkida. Hillel says, no, you have to assume everything she touched is indeed tamei, going back to the last time that you knew she was pure, right? Which would be the last time she did a bedikah, an examination. That might be familiar to some from the purification process after having your period and then going to the mikvah. Hillel says you have to know you're pure. So for the last time you know you're pure, the last time you did a bedikah, you certainly were tahor. Anytime after that, you have to assume, at least out of doubt, that maybe the period started and you're not sure. So therefore, you assume it's tamei, it's impure. Afilu liyamim harbe, even if that's a number of days previous. V'chachamim omrim lo kedivrei zeh v'lo kedivrei zeh. The chachamim say, absolutely not. It's not like Shammai, and it's not like Hillel. Ela me'es me'es mima'etes al yedei mipkida lepkida. U'mipkida lepkida mima'etes al yedei me'es al yad me'es le'es. So that means as follows. Es le'es always means 24 hours. Pekida lepekida is from the previous examination, previous bedika, until the current one. So the first line then is, the Chachamim say, it'll never be more than 24 hours. Right? So it's me'es le'es, right? Let's say 24 hours, but that will be, that time period can actually be constricted, mima'etes, we make it shorter, al yedei mipekida lepekida. All right, so let's say a woman realizes she's having a period at 5 in the afternoon. Okay, so 24 hours before would be 5, you know, yesterday. Right, so on Wednesday, 5 o'clock, she realizes, have my period. Is rolling back, the day is 5 o'clock on Tuesday. But if she did a Bedikin examination that morning and she was Tahor, so obviously, says the Chachamim, you don't roll it back the whole 24 hours. So that's Me'es La'es, 24 hours limited by Pekida L'Pekida from the last examination to this one, if it was done in the morning. And then with Pekida L'Pekida, if let's say the last Bedika the woman did was 3 weeks ago, so that is limited, constricted by Me'es La'es by 24 hours. So if the Bedika was done within 24 hours, you assume everything was Tahor from the time of the good Bedika. If the last Bedika was done, you know, days or weeks ago, that's limited by 24 hours. You never roll it back by more than 24 hours. The Mishnah then further says, two more pieces of information for the Mishnah, call Isha Shiesh La Veses, any woman who has a very, very set menstrual cycle, Daya Shaita. So then everyone agrees that the moment she sees blood, she is Tameh, but before that we're not concerned because the cycle is so set. Last piece of information the Mishnah gives us, HaMishameshes Be'idin, HaRezu Kipkida. That somebody who used to use this cloth, this aid is a cloth, after having relations, to clean up. So if you were to do that and you saw there was no blood there, so that is Kipkida, that will serve for this purpose as a bedika, as an examination, and would follow the same rules of imayetis al yedei me'es la'es ve'al yad mipkida lepkida. Right, that would serve the, that would basically take the place of, you know, the regular bedika if one was to check the cloth that you used to clean up with after having relations. I told you, I promised we'd be all over the place from, right, it's just a list of things here that Shammai says, so that we're now jumping from the world of Nida examinations, Tuma Tahara, to the world of taking challah from your dough, right? So we assume that challah is, the bread that we have on Shabbos and Yontif, right? In the Torah, challah was a portion of the dough. If you had a sufficient amount of dough, you'd have to give some of it to the Kohen. That was a priestly gift. So Shammai Omer Mikav L'Challah. Shammai says that you take challah, you take this piece of dough, separate it, give it to the Kohen, if the dough has a measurement of a kav, which the Kahadi says about 2 liters. The Hillel Omer Mikabayim. It's got to be double. So that's, let's say, 4 liters. Chachamim Omer L'Okadivrei Zeh V'Lokadivrei Zeh. Right, the flow in the Mishnah is Shammai Hillel and Chacham say not like this, not like that. Chacham say elakav umechza chayavim bechala. Rather, it's 1.5 kavs, not a kav, not 2 kavs. Rather, it is 1.5 kavs would obligate you in chala. If that's the size of the dough, you'd have to separate a portion and give it to the Kohen. Mishehidilu hamidos. Once the measurements got a little bit larger, right? So the cup was now 1.25, whatever it would be. But at some point, the measurements changed slightly. Amru chameshes rivain chayavin. Not 1.5, but 5/4, which is 1.25, you're then obligated. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no chamisha peturin. 5/4 on the dot, on the, you know, nailed it on the head, you're exempt. Chamisha ve'od chayavin. It's any amount more than the 5/4, the 1.25 kab. That concludes our learning for today. Please come back. Join us tomorrow.